This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, everybody. This is Titan Fox from Hammer King, and you're listening to the Brutally Delicious Podcast, the greatest place in rock in the United States. Here we are. Hello.
How are you?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Great seeing you and great talking to you.
Yeah. How are you? So where have I seen you before? What other interview have we done?
I can't tell you whether it's been in 2021 or in 2022, but I remember that we spoke.
Yeah, you look familiar. Are you in another band as well?
Not really, no.
Oh, well, just, I guess, good memories.
I remember that that the name Brutally Delicious, that was there before. I could look up. I had to remove my device from the computer in order to set up the camera. Otherwise, I'll tell you in a moment. I got lists.
No worries at all. You just look very familiar. So good to see you again.
Good to see you again. Yeah.
So how are you today, man? You doing all right?
Yeah, absolutely. I started this morning doing an interview with Australia, which is always scary because we all know that Australian English is, wow, very, very hard to understand. But that was the guy that I spoke with last time. I had two Australian interviews last time. And the first, I had to guess my way through the questions because I didn't understand it. Oh, and the second was pretty okay. And this was the second guy again. So that was nice talking to that man again.
Oh, it's been a bit of time. New record out. Well, not out. It's March, right? Yeah, it's coming up soon. Now that it's complete and done, how do you feel about it? And are you satisfied with the outcome?
I mean, I think it was Gene Simmons who once said that whenever you release an album, it's like when your child leaves your home and you says always one more thing where you think, stop, I have to tell you this, and then it's over. There's always slight bits and pieces that you would like to change. I would have linked the songs more. Now they're more like standalone songs. It just wasn't possible in the time frame that we had. So that aside, I must say we're all very, very happy with the album. And I mean, of course, no musicians will ever tell you, well, I think the new album is mediocre. It's not the greatest thing that we've done, but do it. But if you closely listen or read the interviews that I give, you will certainly find out that there have been albums where I have been more open about how much I like the album, and there's been albums where I was not that open. When I'm not that open, it means that I think the album is very good, but it's not my favorite album. And this time I must say that this seems to be one of the three favorite albums that we've made so far for everyone in the band. That would be the first album, the 2021 album, and this one. So it is amazingly fresh. We didn't have much time, but we didn't feel any pressure, which is different from last time where we didn't have much time. You felt the pressure, and this time, no, it was just like a walk in the park for whatever reason. We had 14 songs in like 7 weeks, and that was very good. And in the end, we I think that is the energy that is on the album, the spirit that's on the album, that makes it a better album in the end than some of the other albums that we've made.
Right. So when you approach songwriting, especially when you're heading into the studio for like a new record or a new writing session, how much effort do you put into not writing the same? Well, in your case, you've got six. This would be six, right? So how much effort do you put into not writing the previous five records again? Because you still have your own wheelhouse, right? You have to keep your fans, but you don't want to do what you did five times previous.
And honestly, I think the answer is brutal. No effort at all. It would be fantastic to write the same album over and over again once you have an album that you truly like. And in our case, I mean, we had been in bands before this, and in the bands before Hammer King, we always thought, oh, you can't do this, we have done this before, we can't do that, someone else has done that before. And as you said, the box or the wheelhouse is relatively small in traditional metal. So I think the biggest move of liberation for us was to get over that and just say, do we like it? Does it feel good? Okay, that's it, over. And I think, I mean, there is cases where people should have probably paid more attention. I always point out I'm a huge Saxon fan, and they have never made a weak album in their career. But when I'm critical, I must say that on Carpe Diem, the second to the new one, the one before, there have been at least three songs that were completely identical in chord structure, and that even I realized that. So maybe that's a bit too much. But otherwise, I mean, whatever we do, as long as we have the feeling that the spirit is good and that the song is catchy, I think we'll keep it just the way it is. And in the end, the albums are different nevertheless. If you look at the new one, it is a little bit closer to some elements of thrash metal compared to what we did before. I mean, inside our world, that is almost thrash metal. It's not real thrash metal, of course, but it has progressed slightly towards being a bit more aggressive every here and there, and a bit more powerful than before. So I think there's enough progression.
Was that, and maybe you've answered this already, so forgive me, but was that aggression or the extra heaviness an intentional thing, or am I understanding it just kind of flowed out?
Actually, we are the sort of a band that doesn't have much reflection or much intellectual moves when we're creating music compared to other people, probably. We did enjoy the darker elements that we had on Kingdemonium, the album before that, while at the same time we wanted to have back the more approachable choruses, the more open, the bigger melodies that we had on albums before Kingdemonium. So I think we sort of combined that. But in the end, I mean, when you look at it this way, we were informed that the Walkings would want to take us on tour in March. And the question in June last year was, can you deliver an album for a March release? And that is, it sounds like many months, but actually, if you do the math and find out how much time it takes to physically produce, especially the vinyl, which is over there in a box, it's a good thing. But so you understand that there is, of course, not much time for creating songs, and therefore you have to be quick and be able to enjoy what you do, and then there is not much reflection. I think whatever happens naturally. Of course, now with having a Gunt on the bass guitar for the second time around, he comes from more of a thrash metal background. So whatever he does has given our songs more power, even when we do the older ones. So it was natural that it happened sooner or later.
So, given yourself, you had a deadline then, did you find pressure putting this all together?
Strangely not. Strangely not. I mean, even when I calculated the studio time, it was clear we had to give it away at a certain point, and then you go backwards. And then Charles Greywolf, who sometimes plays his ass off in Powerwolf as well, he told us, oh no, we cannot start before this and that. And so the time got shorter and shorter all the time. And I knew 5 days for the drums, 2 days for the bass, so many days for Gino for the guitar, and what remained was my time, and it was, I think, about a third less compared to the previous album, and that should have scared me actually, but for whatever reason it didn't. And I mean, I knew that Charles would have probably recorded me at night when it really would have been necessary, but it wasn't. So we honestly just, like back in the old day, probably when the bands recorded two albums in 1 year, they didn't have that much time, and they created classics. So,
Nice. So let me I'm going back and listening to the record. Is this a themed record? I mean, is
yeah.
there like a there's like a concept to this, right?
Yeah, it is themed, but it's not really a concept in the meaning of having a straight storyline going from one song to the other. But we do always use themes when we do albums. We had Poseidon, which was a Nordic thing, and we had Kingdemonium, where the kingdom was attacked. This time it's all about the king being king and emperor at the same time, meaning he has more power than ever before, and whenever people have power, they have the tendency to go out into the world and enlarge their kingdom. So that's what the king is about to do, which of course is a lovely link to the fact that we will be on tour directly when the album is out, and we will go to different countries and try to take over as many fans as possible. So there's a real life this time.
Also, I think there's probably a real life similarity as well, right? Because while you're writing fantasy and, you know, power metal or whatever, that's pretty consistent with what we've got going on worldwide, right? Globally.
Yeah, it is. It is. But we tried not to have the negative side on the album this time. I mean, with Kingdemonium, we sort of had this darker vibe, most certainly resulting from this COVID experience that was also lovely for everybody. But I think this time it was of utmost importance to have as much fun and games in the songs as possible.
Right.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.
So when you guys are writing together, then will you, I know you said you're writing, we were talking about writing, once a year, being on pressure, but do you all write together in like the terms of being in the same room and bouncing ideas off each other, or are you emailing stuff back and forth?
We don't do things through email. For me personally, it really doesn't work. I used to be the vocalist for Roster Boss back in the day, a couple of years ago, and I know that we tried to write the first album through the internet because we didn't know how much time it would take us, actually. And I worked my ass off because, of course, I wanted to prove myself and say, hey, look, Ross, I really worked. And it was all so-so. And once the man was in the room, whatever we did together was really fantastic. And that was the moment where I personally learned you can always take the risk and work within 1 week. You can have a fantastic album. The first Ross the Boss album, to me, still is a very good one. And I mean, in that case, when it comes to Hammer King songwriting, everybody brings whatever they've got to the table, and usually it has to be one person taking the responsibility of looking what is good and what doesn't work. That would be me in that case. And whatever we try, usually it's helpful to have the drummer there. When Dolph and I in the room and I have the guitar parts, and Dolph says, yeah, I think I have an idea, and we play it together, just the guitar and the drums, usually that's enough to understand if that song will work or not. And then we do small demos with only the two of us, and until the middle of the song, that's enough to say it's a song, give it a name, and just look at it the next week with fresh ears and fresh minds. And we changed from being all four in the same room towards being maybe groups of two or three, rarely four, because we were quicker when it was only two people, and the next day it would be someone else, and they can listen to the songs and say, that's really great, or maybe that's not that great, and you could sort it out. And for us, the best way to work is write as many things as possible and throw away whatever is not really great, and don't waste time on these ideas, because usually there's hardly a song that has ever really been great that took months to write, at least for us. It might be totally different for other people.
So, I mean, I listen to a lot of records every weekend, and, I do a lot of interviews, and I find that the stuff I listen to that I think or that I connect with more and that I feel is more organic is the stuff where people have done exactly what you said, right? They're in the room and they're bouncing ideas, because music, I don't think, can be so perfectly quantized. And so I think when you get in a room and you play, like you said, you're doing, in that old school live setting, like they did in the 70s, you were talking about earlier about classics. Absolutely. It's live, it breathes, it moves, and it's not like a robot. That makes sense.
Absolutely. I think if when I tell you how we work, that's so ridiculous because we have one microphone in the room and we record that. It sounds shitty, but it's enough to understand the song. And we do not waste time on recording things, or we never use a computer on that, but during that stage of songwriting. And once we have decided that these snippets are good enough, then you decide to put it on a demo. And even our demos are really very rough. You could never show that to any people outside of the band. It's more like this compared to a real book. So as long as we understand it, it's enough. And it leaves more space for imagination. And then once the demo is done, we're fully prepared and can record it properly in the studio. So until the studio, there is no real high-end way of working. It's supposed to be spontaneous. It's supposed to happen between people.
Yeah, and I think you can definitely notice. And I'm not knocking anybody who does it the other way, but I think if you put them together and close your eyes, you're going to be able to hear the difference, or at least the avid listener is going to know the difference.
I totally think so, because music has become far too much focused on perfection instead of maybe inspiration, spirit, vibration, whatever you, there's different names for it. But I mean, we all have our favorite albums, and very mostly it's old albums, and that's for a reason.
Right. And even live then, right? Because then when you translate it live, it's easy. It doesn't have to worry about it not sounding like the record because everything was so...
So quantized, yeah.
Right. You guys, I know you said you're going out with War Kings. What else you got planned for this year?
Oh, there's a couple of festivals in the summer. There's the very big Rock Hearts, which is like, is it 25,000, I think. Then there's medium-sized festivals, of which I had never heard before, but that will be some thousands of people and maybe only 2 days and maybe like 20 bands, which is a good thing, because if you've got 20 bands, there's a far higher chance that more people remember all the bands when they go home, actually.
Right.
And now we have signed with Extra Tours, which is one of the leading booking agencies in Central Europe. So hopefully, keeping our fingers crossed, we might be offered another tour for autumn, which would be super interesting to have two tours in 1 year. Well, the good bands all do that, so let's try and have that.
Yeah. Anything for the States yet, or no? Too early.
So far not, but I mean, we're covering like 5-6 countries in Central Europe this year, and I hope I'm right. This is like the test balloon for the booking agency. If this works with us, and if the other guys from the other bands all feedback that we're okay people, I think they will push us more when it comes to autumn. And I mean, we've said it all the time. We are the ones, one of these bands that really want to play live, like maybe Saxon or bands like this, who are always around. I don't believe in doing a tour every 2 years. I think it should be two tours a year. So that would be very, very helpful. Or be on the road all the time. The more, the better. So I would definitely like to play the States. It's been years since I've been there.
Right. Do you find it difficult getting out there on the road? I mean, we're not 18 anymore, right? It's got to be tough getting out and playing those kind of long stretches, or it's not a big deal.
Strangely, I mean, not being 18 would mean that basically as a vocalist, it should be trickier than ever before. And in my case, I must say it's getting easier for whatever reason. Maybe my body starts fully embracing techniques that I couldn't learn when I was younger. So I was in my car 3 days ago or 4 days ago, and I was trying these wonderful Kiss songs from the 80s where Paul Stanley really sounded like a tenor vocalist. Yeah. I'll fight you and all that stuff. It's incredibly tricky. I could never sing these bloody songs, and for the first time in my life, I'm almost there doing this. And I mean, that's really top-notch singing. And for me, it's I sing all the time, and singing is the only thing that I have a true sort of, I don't know what the English word for Ehrgeiz is, a true I really want to make it. It's something that I really want to improve all the time. I don't think I care about anything else that much in life. And therefore, for me, it's going on tour is the greatest thing in the world. Of course, it's always about money, because you have to pre-invest much money in order to get it back. That's the tricky side. But otherwise, I think I could be on the road at least one third of the year.
Nice. Funny you mentioned Paul, because I think in the late 70s, early 80s, man, there was no one better. He was top of his game and unbelievable.
I do not know how much cocaine was involved to give that man this power. He always claims he didn't do that. Well, right. I don't know. But, I mean, until at least vocally, Crazy Nights is probably the best album he has done. I mean, you could debate about the songs and the production, but there's so much singing on that album where, as you said it, nobody was better than him. Never. And the sound of his voice is maybe, other than Freddie Mercury, the greatest voice I've ever heard in my life. So.
Right. What Paul was definitely the top of his game, and he was schooling people at that time.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And so that is, I mean, and being a singing, guitar-playing vocalist myself, of course, he is a tremendous influence, because whatever this man has done, basically standing there, has not been any less than what other people did when they roamed the stage from the left to the right. So that is, Paul is definitely a huge influence on me. And I hope he will not influence me to the very last, meaning that I will run tapes in the future, but whatever.
Yeah, I know. I just saw the end of the road tour, the last show at the Garden here.
Oh, the last one.
Yeah, I was at the last one.
Oh, you're blessed. I saw him 2 months ago, before that.
I'm originally from New York, and I have a friend of mine who said, hey, if you get up here, I'll get you the tickets. And so I got up there, and, you know, we were somewhere in the back, but we were there, and it was something.
I was in Mannheim. That was maybe the second to last Germany shows they probably ever did. And I think I was in the second or third row. So that was quite a dream come true. It was worth seeing. And yet, of course, you can say that it's not been what it used to be before.
No. Because, and I know we're off on a tangent here, sorry, but I've seen Kiss probably 30, 40 times over my years. I'm a New Yorker, grew up just being a Kiss freak. And yes, I mean, I remember seeing him at their peak, like on Lick It Up with Vinny and Mark St. John and some really, really good shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw Revenge in a tiny theater, and it was just fucking great.
Yes.
That was, and, you know, the years go on, and I still go because, you know, I'm still a Kiss fan and, you know, hoping for something better. But yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think that's philosophy here, but Paul Stanley, especially Paul, is so charismatic, and he brought so much to the musical table that, honestly, if he only said good evening live and the rest would have been from a tape, which it wasn't. But, I mean, if you study this, you can sort of figure out what was live and what not. Right. Even if he only greeted us live, it still probably would have been worth seeing it. Because
you still get chills.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Whatever it is. So, yeah.
Sorry, we were off on a tangent. So if...
Always worth it.
I can talk about it all day long. Mm-hmm. If fans want to find you, can you give us all your socials and that sort of thing?
Yeah, of course. We're on Facebook. We are on Instagram. I strongly believe we are on Twitter, and I am too. I never use it. But we have not conquered the magical world of TikTok yet, because we really don't know why we should. But everybody keeps telling us, you have to go to TikTok. Maybe we have already started. I really don't know. And, of course, there is hammer/king.com, the official website, where you find all the links as well. But I think we're on YouTube, of course. And yeah, you'll find us everywhere.
There's too many of those social media platforms. I got really lucky. I have a lady who works for me or works with me, whatever, and she's like a social media person. And she came in and she's like, oh, you need TikTok and you need this. And she handles it all, and it's beautiful. Yeah. I just, every once in a while, I get messages saying, hey, good post on TikTok. I don't even know what we posted, but.
Yeah, the same here. I mean, I'm when it comes to social media stuff, we have a guy who does that for us now, gladly. I mean, I'm in contact with him. I know basically what he does and when he does. But as long as I know that it works, well, I really don't invest too much energy.
right? There's too many, and there's too many other things going on. So I'm very thankful for that kind of thing. That's all I have, my friend. Perfect. One take, my friend.
Well, sometimes it happens.
Good luck with the record. It's always great seeing you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you, Bruce.
Yeah, that was a good conversation. I know we were all over the place, but I like just talking. So
absolutely the same here. Thank you.
Be and well, travel safe, and maybe we'll see you over here in the States.
Future, absolutely.
Cheers, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.